It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 906 for the 1st of November, 2024. This week, no matter how much effort Microsoft expends on the Start menu, it will never please everyone. The Start menu does offer a lot of customizations, but if you really want to take control, there's Start 11 from StarDock. In short circuits, updating to the latest version of Windows 24H2 created some significant problems on my primary computer, but the update worked flawlessly on the tablet computer. This is why every operating system update needs to be approached with caution. And too many organizations still force users to change their passwords too frequently, mistakenly believing that doing so improves security. In fact, the opposite is true. No matter how much time and effort Microsoft expends on the Start menu, there will always be some people who simply don't like it. The Start menu itself includes a lot of customizations, but other ways exist to get exactly the Start menu you want. The Windows Start menu can highlight recently installed applications and most used apps, if you enable those options. Based on your usage pattern, Microsoft can recommend apps in the Start menu. The Start menu can show tips and shortcuts and either display or hide specialized folders like settings, documents, pictures, and downloads. That's an admirable amount of customization, and the taskbar adds even more options. But you may want features that aren't present in Windows alone. Microsoft has come a long way since it unceremoniously dropped the Start button in Windows 8. Response was immediate and negative. The Start button returned, and Microsoft has been working to make the whole process even better. There are two applications I consider to be absolutely essential to Windows. One is from Microsoft, and one is from StarDock. The Microsoft option is free. The StarDock option is not, but there is a 30-day free trial period. After that, you have to purchase a license for $10. But a problem you may encounter is that StarDock makes several other applications that I've come to think of as essential. If you also come to that conclusion, you'll need to pay more for licenses. Fortunately, the costs are relatively low. I'll start with PowerToys Run. As the name suggests, it's part of the PowerToys utility set, which I think should be on every Windows computer because it adds so many small but powerful features. PowerToys Run allows the user to define the keystroke that launches it. I use Alt Spacebar. That might actually be the default. A search window opens, and the user can start typing part of an application name. But before we get there, let's pause on this first screen that we see. And you'll see it on the TechBiter Worldwide website. This additional screen that illustrates one of the things that makes PowerToys so very helpful. Instead of typing the name of an application, you can press the equals key and enter an equation, a colon to search the registry, an exclamation point to open the services panel, the greater than symbol to run a command, or 2% signs to request a numeric conversion. Those are just a few of the unexpected extras. But to launch an application, you just type part of the application's name. So let's say that I'd like to run Cyberlink Power DVD, but I don't remember the publisher. I don't remember the Cyberlink part. I do remember that Power is part of the name, though. So I type POW, the first three letters in Power, and PowerToys Run suggests several PowerShell options: PowerPoint, PowerToys, DB Power Amp, Power Automate, and there it is, Cyberlink Power DVD. That is considerably faster than searching through the Start menu. In fact, I use this option instead of the paid StarDock application when I need to start an application that I use so infrequently that it's not on the taskbar or pinned to the Start menu. There's actually a hierarchy involved here. Most of the applications that I use daily are pinned to the taskbar. Those that I use somewhat less often are in Start 11, the StarDock replacement for the Start menu. Then I launched the least used applications with PowerToys Run. Starter 11 appeals to me for several reasons, not the least of which is that it's simply an attractive application. In addition to working properly and performing the task that its developers say it will, looking good and being highly configurable are strong positives for me. Start 11 fulfills all four objectives and goes much further with configurations. If you like the old Windows 7 Start menu, you can have Start 11 play that role, or the Windows 10 Start menu, or the Windows 11 Start menu with several additional options. Or you can pick one of three Start 11 main options, App Style, Pro Style, or Launcher Style. Once you've selected one of those primary categories, you'll be presented with additional configuration settings that include colors, backgrounds, transparency effects, typefaces and sizes, visual effects such as rounded corners, and animation. The potential problem I mentioned with Start 11 is that StarDock has several other applications, such as Fences 5, to create areas that hold folders and links on the desktop, Multiplicity 4, that shares a single mouse and keyboard with multiple computers, Cursor FX 4, to create and customize mouse cursors, Object Dock, that creates an animated dock on the desktop, and more. These have costs ranging from $3 to $23. Or there's Object Desktop, which has a $40 annual subscription price and includes everything. It renews at $30 a year after the first year, and a single license works on up to 5 computers. So if you have multiple computers and you like what StarDock has to show, it turns out to be very cheap on a per-computer basis. I ended up licensing Object Desktop, and I'll be renewing it. I don't keep a lot of icons on the desktop, but I use Fences to keep single-click icons that shut down or restart the computer, restart Explorer or Search, and start Microsoft's Deployment Imaging and Servicing Management Tool and the System File Checker. When there's a link or a shortcut I need frequent access to but for a limited time, I put it in another Fences area labeled Information. Multiplicity is an outstanding utility when I need to use the Surface laptop on the desk. There's no room on the desk for another keyboard and mouse, and even the tablet's cramped keyboard takes up too much space. Multiplicity solves that problem. Realizing that the version of Windows now being released, version 24H2, has the potential to cause operational issues with utilities such as the ones that it publishes, StarDock has worked diligently to prepare and release updated versions of its applications and make sure they work properly with the latest version of Windows. Whether you like Microsoft's Start menu or not, adding PowerToys Run and some of the other PowerToys utilities will provide more options to start applications efficiently and to totally customize the look and feel of the Start menu and other interface components. There's Start 11 and the Object Desktop from StarDock. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, software developers have been releasing a lot of updates in an effort to fix problems that Microsoft will create as it rolls out version 24H2. I've had 24H2 for a while, but the Windows 11 Insider preview that I received in early October kept me amused and involved with the computer for much of the afternoon the update arrived. The installation itself failed on the first attempt. On a second go, it installed properly, but it destroyed the drivers for my sound subsystem. Windows has done this before. The solution involves removing the drivers, disconnecting the device, downloading new drivers, rebooting the computer a couple of times, reinstalling the drivers and the application that runs the sound system, and then reconnecting the device. There was one trick I hadn't seen previously, though. HTTP and HTTPS shortcuts on the desktop had blank icons, and they didn't work. That's because the update apparently tried to switch to Edge as the application to answer for all web links. It succeeded with some, and then simply removed associations for others without adding a valid target. Well, that was another hour of troubleshooting and tinkering, during which I might otherwise have been bored, so thanks, Microsoft, for that. Before the day was over, several other applications had been updated. I hadn't had any significant problems with the initial pre-release version, but the update for Windows Insiders didn't play well, even with the operating system. Stardock developers of the Start Menu replacement Start 11 that I just mentioned, and several other applications described their approach to customers this way. For the past few months, Stardock has been diligently evaluating our applications like Start 11 version 2 and Fences 5 to make sure that they are fully functional with the changes. You may have noticed that we have been shipping more updates recently. While not always directly related to 24H2, it was part of our effort to make sure that when the new Windows release hits your device, your applications are ready. FX Sound, which provides a graphic equalizer to improve the computer's sound system, reported errors on startup, but an update was available, and that resolved the problem. My preferred text editor, UltraEdit Studio, continued to work properly, but an update was available immediately after I installed Windows 24H2. Because Microsoft is building more artificial intelligence into Windows and doing everything it can to force users to switch to Microsoft applications such as Edge and OneDrive, as well as to push Microsoft 365 users towards storing files in the cloud instead of keeping them on their local disk drives, this new version is almost guaranteed to create more problems for users than any recent updates. Recent updates actually had become so reliable that they were almost boring. I rarely recommend skipping a Windows update, and I am certainly not doing that now because the benefits usually exceed the potential shortcomings. But this time, it might be wise to postpone the update. If you do that, some of the bugs and annoyances will have been tracked down and eliminated. Potentially, the most serious problems with computers involve update failures that may require rolling back the update. Microsoft usually resolves these kinds of issues quickly, and they're relatively rare anyway. When they do occur, they are highly disruptive and can be quite time-consuming. A common problem involves an update's propensity to change the user's customized settings to Microsoft's default settings. Granted, my experience as a software developer is limited, and my experience as an operating system developer is nil. Still, I consider this type of behavior to be unacceptable. Surely, Microsoft's developers are capable of creating a logic branch that could examine a setting and then leave it alone if the user has modified it. Sometimes users won't notice these unwanted changes for several days, maybe even several weeks. Following the update, a backup process for the boot drive no longer worked. The settings apparently had been destroyed. Microsoft would like computer owners to use the backup process provided by Microsoft. I have no objection to that, but I do object when an update requires me to set up a background process again because Microsoft destroyed its settings. I really don't expect Microsoft to fix this until or unless lawsuits and government regulators manage to get the company's attention. Some users have reported slow boot times, but those problems usually resolve over time, and they're simply a temporary side effect of an operating system update. Driver issues and problems with installed software are fairly common, especially for older applications and hardware devices. I haven't found any outdated drivers despite the problem with the audio subsystem. What I encountered was simply an issue that I've seen before with a Windows update. Some gamers have reported network, video, and performance issues with their games. Those problems will likely be resolved by the publishers of the gaming software or with driver updates for network and video subsystems. So, if you are comfortable dealing with potential problems, now is a good time to proceed with the updates. Otherwise, wait a few weeks. Updating the tablet computer to version 24H2 was much more straightforward. Unlike my primary computer, the tablet is more like a device in use by a normal person. And yes, that means I am not a normal person. The browser default and all of the application assignments I checked were retained. I did need to update StarDock Multiplicity on both the primary computer and the tablet, but that's because StarDock replaced version 3 of that application with version 4. Passwords eventually will be replaced by passkeys or other authentication types, but we'll have to deal with the frustrations of passwords until then. One of the most annoying problems with passwords is being forced to change them. Too many sites force users to change their passwords frequently, sometimes in just 30 or 45 days. But frequent password changes can reduce security instead of enhancing it. Besides that, there's the annoyance factor. I'm familiar with a company that required password changes every 45 days. Set a password on Monday, and it will expire 45 days later, on a Saturday. And the old password won't be accepted when you return to the office on Monday. That's day 47. So then you'd have to call the IT department and have someone reset the password. That wastes a lot of time for everybody. I used a process by which I changed my password every 42 days on a Tuesday. Why 42? Why Tuesday? Well, it wasn't a nod to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but the simple mathematical fact that 42 days is exactly 7 weeks. And Tuesday to avoid scheduling the change on an occasional Monday holiday. Tuesdays seemed like the best choice, and it left me 3 grace days if I wasn't able to change the password on Tuesday. But I said frequent password changes can harm security. You're wondering how. When people are forced to change passwords frequently, they often use their previous password and simply add a number at the end. Or they create a password that is too short or can be guessed. Or they write it down and leave it on a sticky note on their desk. I've considered the safer method to have a long, complex password that is stored in a password manager and changed infrequently. In other words, unless you are forced to change a password, I prefer just setting a long, complex password, storing it in your password manager, and using it pretty much indefinitely. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.